This podcast is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those looking to explore classic Christianity with connected age resources, online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 77. Today's episode is on Christian fellowship in the past tense and its importance in your spiritual formation. This episode is the sixth in a series devoted to the topic of spiritual formation. In the last episode, I discussed the importance of Christian fellowship and did so in what are the most familiar terms to us. Namely, this is Christian fellowship in the present tense. However, fellowship with our fellow believers in Christ cannot be confined only to our present moment. There are two other dimensions of fellowship we need to consider. In this episode, we'll explore the importance of Christian fellowship in the past tense. Our foundation, once again, for thinking along these lines comes to us in the doctrines of union with Christ and the communion, or rather, the fellowship of the saints. The New Testament is very clear that those who have placed their faith in Christ are in Christ. This results in a fellowship of all the individuals for whom this has happened. However, the classic understanding of this is that it extends beyond current time and place. Just because a believer has died does not place them outside of union with Christ. Clearly, their circumstances have changed. An earthly body has been left behind, awaiting resurrection at a future point in history, while their spirit is present with Christ. A 10th century English farmer who was and is in Christ is just as much a part of the communion of saints as is a Christian still physically living on earth in the 21st century. However, in our current circumstances, how does this fellowship occur? Allow me to lay out some further parameters for this exploration. As a believer who lives in the early 21st century and follows a classically Protestant view of the faith, I am not at this time going to try to somehow communicate with our hypothetical 10th century Christian English farmer. There are Old Testament commands forbidding attempted contact with the dead. I think those commands still apply. I do believe that there will be a time when that 10th century English farmer and I will be able to communicate with each other face to face, but that time awaits a resurrection and what the end chapters of the books of Isaiah and Revelation refer to as the new heaven and the new earth. So, with all that being said, how can we experience fellowship with believers who have gone on before us? Fellowship in the past tense, for us who live here and now, is a one-way street. Those believers who have gone on before us in death have left a legacy which speaks to us in the present moment. One way of demonstrating this has been the existence of church graveyards in which the graveyard is adjacent to a church building. For those physically alive members attending church services at that building, seeing those gravestones has had the effect of reminding us that those who have preceded us in death are still in the family of Christ. For those of us who have lost loved ones to death, the death of that loved one has not removed them from our families. How much more so for those who are joined by the same holy word of Christ and the same Holy Spirit? Actually, visiting those graveyards can provide a level of encouragement to us. As we read the names and dates on the gravestones, we can reflect on those who lived and died being faithful to Christ. Perhaps their earthly lives were short by our current standards. Perhaps they lived into their 80s or 90s. We know that their earthly life ended, while ours, by the very fact we're listening to this podcast episode, is not yet complete. The information we find on those gravestones can encourage us to remember that we can actually cross the earthly finish line being faithful to Christ. The memory of those who have gone on before us encourages and inspires us to finish our earthly years well by remaining faithful to our faithful High Priest, Jesus Christ. Fellowship in the past tense also happens in what is left behind for us. I think of this often when I'm reading a book written by a saint whose spirit is now with the Lord, but their earthly words remain with us to learn from and to be encouraged by. For a long time, I was using Charles Spurgeon's book, Morning and Evening, for devotional reading. There were times when I could imagine Spurgeon sitting in the large library of his home, writing the text of what I was reading. While I know that probably tens of thousands of people have read this book over the years, I sensed a personal connection with this man writing in the 19th century and giving encouragement to me living over 125 years later in a country an ocean away. The recorded words of believers found in books, journals, letters, etc. are more than just stored information from the past. They are counsel, wisdom, and insight which has crossed the years to be of benefit to us here and now. This kind of legacy does not necessarily need to be in written text. Art, in the form of painting, sculpture, and architecture, can serve the same purposes. A painting such as Rembrandt's Supper at Emmaus reflects Rembrandt's perspective of a serene Christ on the evening of the day of Christ rising from the dead. It is as if Christ can once more be truly peaceful with the agony, not only of his death, but, for some length of time, a separation from the fellowship which he had with his heavenly Father. Through the painting, Rembrandt teaches us a lesson without words, but a profound lesson nonetheless. While I did mention this during the series of podcast episodes which I did concerning my wife's and my trip to London, I think it bears repeating that when I viewed cathedrals such as Westminster Abbey in London or the Cathedral in Canterbury, a 21st century visitor cannot help but be moved by the sheer size and beauty of those buildings. A 21st century visitor cannot help but be amazed by buildings that are so big, so tall, and so massive. Buildings that were built well before the invention of the steam engine or electrical power. These buildings speak without words, and their now dead builders tell us how important God was to them. The high vaulted ceilings of these and other cathedrals were not for show. By their very design, they cause you to look up heavenward to God. Psalm 19, verse 1 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. They do so without words, but the message still goes forth. In the same way, we can have fellowship with those who've gone on before us and left a legacy written in words, paint, and stone. After the mid-19th century, new ways of leaving behind a legacy were invented. With the invention of photography, little frozen moments in time could be used to pass along truths to us. In many instances, perhaps there was no intention of leaving a message behind. Yet, for those of us who have treasured such things as family photographs, little clues to the faith of those in these photographs can speak loudly, even without words. A photograph taken within a house might show a wall hanging with words such as, "Watch and pray." A photograph might show someone holding or reading a Bible. Any number of clues in the photograph could show us that the Christian faith was so important to the ones being photographed. The development of audio and video recording opened further means of preserving a legacy and allowing those in the past to have fellowship with us. Those of us living in the early 21st century could take these things for granted. I was reminded about this very recently while attending a great Christmas time event at nearby Greenfield Village in Dearborn, Michigan. One of the buildings is a museum of the development of music in the United States. One room in particular grabbed our attention during this recent visit. The theme of that room was the development of sound reproduction technology, such as the Victrola. Most intriguing were the posters which showed the advertisements from that era. One advertisement in particular stressed that hearing music such as the music of John Philip Sousa's band didn't have to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience, since only before the Victrola, you could only hear them live. The ad stated, "But on the Victrola, you could hear it any day." I suspect we forget that for most of human history, if you wanted to hear someone's voice, you had to hear them speaking in person. With the advent of sound reproduction technology, we have the benefit of hearing their actual voice. With film and video technology, we can see what they looked like as they spoke. Early in my Christian life, I encountered the writings of A.W. Tozer, who died a generation before. Years later, I was surprised to find out that quite a number of the sermons which Tozer gave in his lifetime were audio recorded. There is something special in not just reading the words of Tozer, but hearing his rather tinny yet powerful voice as he preached Christ. About 7 years ago, I came across the writings of Leonard Ravenhill. Ravenhill was born about 10 years after Tozer, but lived a much longer life and died in the year 1994, about 30 years after Tozer. In the case of Ravenhill, there are not only an abundance of audio, but video recordings as well. I highly recommend that you search out these recordings on the internet. They are a tremendous legacy left to the church. Websites such as Sermon Audio provide audio sermons from a wide variety of preachers from the 20th and 21st centuries. Just as writers and artists from centuries past still speak to us, individuals such as A.W. Tozer and Leonard Ravenhill, though dead, still speak to us and counsel us today. I've done podcast episodes on both A.W. Tozer and Leonard Ravenhill. I will have links to those episodes on the Restoring the Core webpage for this episode. Lastly, I'd like to remind us of the legacy of those we have known who have lived and died during our lifetimes. They too leave a legacy for us and have fellowship with us by what they've left behind. Perhaps you remember timely or kind words from these individuals. Perhaps you witnessed something these individuals did to honor God which really stood out to you. Perhaps you observed that they not only lived well for Christ, but died well for Christ as well, being assured of God's love for them. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, we are given a long list of heroes of faith. They were commended not just simply for great deeds, but for their great faith. In God's sight, great deeds flow from great faith. You may have seen this with those with whom you have shared some years of life together on earth. All of these individuals, by the legacy they have left behind for us, have a true fellowship with us. Indeed, it is a one-way legacy of their influence on us, but that influence still informs us, guides us, encourages us, and challenges us to live for Christ. I encourage you to get to know some of the saints who have gone on to be with the Lord, read what they've left behind, visit the buildings they've built or the paintings they painted, examine the photographs they left behind, listen to their voice as they preach and teach Christ, watch them as they proclaim what Christ has done. Remember those who you have known who were believers, who have perhaps not left behind a book or a painting, but whose life and example you remember and will want to imitate. What a great way of those who have gone before us in faith to share Christ with us. In our next episode, we will discuss fellowship in the future tense. We will explore some ideas about what we can do to leave a legacy of faith for those who follow us. Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active. It is found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening. Please join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.